Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I hope you're having a great day today. It's cold in Texarkana, but it's supposed to warm up to the degree of about 46 or 47 this afternoon. So I am hoping to get out and hit the little white ball this afternoon with a good friend of mine, and we'll see how that goes. Today is the 30th. It's the second to the last day of 2026. We are quickly approaching 2026. We're quickly approaching 2026. Second to the last day of 2025. I hope tomorrow to have my wife Debbie on the program for the last program of the year. And looking forward to that. She always needs some positive encouragement to come on because she's a busy person. So I hope that that works out. But I wanted to talk to you today. You know, as you and I see the news and the fraud going on in Somalia and now that's coming up in other cities. I saw one lady on the X platform saying, "Hey, Nick Shirley, come to my city because the same things are happening at my city. We have daycare centers that don't have any kids and investigate this." And, you know, who knows how much of the fraud is taking place. I saw a number of $9 billion just in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the St. Paul, all those areas there. And it could be much, much, much more around the country. It is sickening. And so when you look at news like that, and it just, as we talked the whole program yesterday about righteous indignation, you look at those things and it makes your blood boil, so to speak, because it's just wrong. You're just looking at it saying, this is wrong. And it's doubly wrong when people come into your country by the goodness and the generosity of America, and they come in to steal and to just, you know, conduct such an evil enterprise, so to speak. It's just horrific. And I would think any fair-minded person would say those people need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. They know exactly what they're doing, and they keep doing it, and it spreads. And those that were turning a blind eye to this need to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And people who hate America and want to see death to America, we need to get them out of America. You can't be on the team if you want the team to lose. Any coach knows that. If you have players that want the team to lose, you can't be on the team. And so you can look at all that stuff and you can get very, not only angry, righteously indignant, but you can get very discouraged because you just think, good grief. Can it get any worse? And then something happens, some horrific crime takes place, and you say, yeah, it can get worse. Well, the Bible tells us, in the last days, 2 Timothy 3:1, difficult times will come. Well, difficult times are here. That word difficult means perilous, dangerous, a time of evil and misery and problems. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. So in the midst of all that, as you see what's taking place, as you stay abreast of the news and current events, instead of getting discouraged, we need to get encouraged. Because Jesus said, when you see all these things take place, look up, be watchful, for your redemption is drawing near. This is happening exactly as the Lord said it was going to happen. And before his return, we're going to enter in again to the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said in Matthew 24, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The days of Noah were days of anarchy. They were days of apathy. People didn't care. And they were days of apostasy. You had false religion leading the way. Only Noah was found to be faithful and true. And God saved Noah and his wife and his three sons and their respective wives. Eight people were on the ark. Eight people did not perish in the flood. And so God always has a remnant. But in the midst of all that's going on, we need to remember, and it's baked into the Christmas prophecies, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us. That's just what we celebrated a few days ago on December 25th. We don't know when Jesus was born, but that's the day that the world celebrates his birth. A child will be born to us. That's the infant story. That's the nativity. A son will be given to us. That's different. Doesn't say a son will be born to us. It says a child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. That's the infinite sacrifice. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Father gave his son so that you and I could be forgiven, so that the price could be paid. Jesus came into this world, as I preached a couple of weeks ago, in the shadow of a tree. There's an old song by Christine Wurtzen that said, he was born in the shadow of a tree. The shadow of a tree, ever present, was the knowledge he would be hanging on a tree, the tree of Calvary. So a child will be born to us. That has happened. 2,000 years ago, that happened. A son will be given to us. That has happened as Jesus died on the cross, according to Harold Honer, on April 3rd, 33 AD, and then rose again from the dead on that Sunday. And then it says in Isaiah, the prophecy, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of angel armies, will accomplish this. So you have the infant story, you have the infinite sacrifice, and then you have the eternal sovereignty of our Lord and the inconquerable reign of Jesus Christ. His kingdom is coming. Remember in the model prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really a model for prayer. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Jesus said, pray then in this way, according to this manner, not just repeat these words, but pray according to this model. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, he taught us to pray according to that manner, that mode, and we're to pray that God's will would be done and God's kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that hasn't happened yet, but it will happen at the return of Jesus. So I preached this three-part series for Christmas called The Cradle from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. The cradle, child will be born to us. The cross, a son will be given to us, and the crown, and the government will rest on his shoulders. So when you see things seemingly falling apart in our nation, in the world, maybe in your community, maybe in your family, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your life, and things are very, very difficult, and maybe a lot of it happening to you is outside of your control, what do? Well, you don't just throw up your hands and quit. You don't curse God and die, as Job's wife counseled him to do. You trust God and live. And you look up and you begin to watch, knowing that our redemption, your redemption as a believer, is drawing near, and knowing that it's not always going to be like this, because one day Jesus is going to return, and he is going to set up his kingdom. And the Bible speaks verse after verse after verse about the second coming of Jesus, about the kingdom of Christ on this earth, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. as Isaiah said, hey, the government one day is going to rest on his shoulders. And he's going to sit on the throne of David. And he's going to be over his kingdom. And he's going to establish it. And he's going to uphold it with justice and righteousness. And so we look forward to that day. And so I want to take time today. We're going to take the first two segments and talk about the kingdom of Christ set up on this earth that the Bible speaks of. And then we're going to leave time on the back end for your questions and your comments. Love to hear from our listeners. So keep that in mind. The last segment of the program from 8:43 to the end, we open that up for your questions and comments. Phone number to call is 888-589-8840, just a precursor to when we open the phone lines. But we want to talk about the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when the Lord returns? Now, I make no bones about the fact that I am a pre-tribulation rapturist. What does that mean? I believe that the rapture, the snatching away of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I believe that that happens before the 7 years of tribulation. Not everybody believes that. Some believe it happens in the middle of the tribulation period. Some believe it happens at the end of the tribulation period. I believe it happens at the before the tribulation begins. I believe that what you see in the book of the Revelation, the seven letters to the seven churches, Revelation 2 and 3, you know, John sees Jesus, Revelation chapter 1, and Jesus tells him to write the things which are the things. Let me get that specifically right, because John was given specific instructions, and he says, do not be afraid. I have the key. I'm the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. So, Revelation chapter 1, he writes what he has seen, Revelation 2 and 3, the things which are, which are the seven letters to the seven churches, and the things which shall take place after these things. After John writes, records the seven letters to the seven churches, the last one is Laodicea, then you hit Revelation chapter 4, and what happens in Revelation chapter 4? I believe it's a reference to the rapture. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. And immediately, John says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. I believe that's a picture of the rapture, and the Lord raptures the church. Now, interestingly, we read about the church in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, and then we don't hear anything more about the church until the Lord returns in Revelation chapter 19. Nowhere during the tribulation period from Revelation 6 when it begins until Revelation 19 do you read about the church. Jesus raptures out the church, I believe that. Does that mean that there is no Christian witness during the tribulation period? No, there is Christian witness, and it's going to come primarily from the Jews, because Revelation 7, there are 144,000 Jews that are sealed, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. But there's this tribulation period that's coming. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It lasts for 7 years, and it begins with the appearance of the Antichrist as he signs a treaty with Israel, a peace treaty with Israel and the Arab nations. And people are saying, at last we have peace in the Middle East. But it's a false peace. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about King Jesus, when the Lord comes and sets up his kingdom. Hey, it might be difficult for you right now, but look up, be watchful, be encouraged. Because your redemption, as a believer, your redemption is drawing near. We'll be right back after the break. Don't go away.
Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4. He says, "Let the thief steal no longer, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." So clearly, a part of why God entrusts his resources to us is so we can give. Now, when I look at the New Testament, I see several ways we're to give according to God's word. We're to give cheerfully and not under compulsion. We're to give sacrificially. We can see that clearly with the widow's mite, the most famous giver in all of Scripture, and yet we don't even know her name. We're also to give proportionately. To whom much is given, much is required. Is it time for you to take a step back and make a plan to give? Well, the team at AFA Foundation would be happy to help you plan your giving to do it wisely and tax efficiently. Just visit afafoundation.net.
Exploring missions with Pastors Bert and Nathan Harper.
When I became a Christian believer, I felt that God was calling me to go to North India as a witness.
We focus on the most vulnerable in the Metro Atlanta area.
Operation Care International is started in Dallas, and now we have partnered with 52 countries.
Exploring Missions explores missions. Find it on the podcast page at afr.net.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
When discouragement settles in, one of the best ways to rise above it is to remember others. Hi, I'm Jim Scudder with today's Moment in Grace. Paul did this with the Philippian church, and those memories filled him with joy. Thinking of fellow believers, praying for them, and knowing they pray for you strengthens your heart. But some things must be forgotten. Past successes can tempt you to stop moving forward. Yet, the Christian life has no park. Past failures can hold you back too. But Christ calls you to walk with him daily, aiming to honor him. Do not quit, do not stop, and do not dwell on yesterday. Press toward the mark. For daily devotionals delivered straight to your email, visit ingraceradio.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as we look at the news, we can get discouraged. If we look at what's going on around us in our culture, we can get discouraged. Now, we're seeing a pushback in the onslaught of evil. And, you know, praise God that President Trump recognized that DEI is horrible, and he put a stop to that, still trying to push that back out of sports and things like that. President Trump, you know, a lot of people hate his guts. He's not a perfect person by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he's got a good grasp and a good handle on what is good for America and what is bad for America. And he knows who the criminals are and who the victims are. It doesn't seem like people on the left understand that very well. You know, we have what's going on in Somalia. It's so black and white. These people are, so many of them, not every single fraudster is a Somalian, but many of them are. AI told me it was 89% of those that have been arrested so far are Somalians. And so it's a whole club, so to speak, of graft and corruption. And many in government have been turning a blind eye to that. As Nick Shirley said in his video, it's because they don't want to be called a racist or an Islamophobe. And if you're on the left, you know that the Somalis, as the Attorney General of Minnesota said, you know, hey, we have to have them to win in an election. They're very, very crucial, their vote. And so going after their vote. And if their vote means we're going to turn a blind eye to their fraud and corruption, so be it. It's sickening. So in the midst of all that, what do we do as Christians? We look up and we be watchful. We are watchful, knowing that our redemption is drawing near. That's what Jesus told us to do, not to get down and discouraged, saying, this is terrible. It's not going to get any better. Hey, Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. And we, as we run our race, Hebrews chapter 12, we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And we know that difficult times are coming and difficult times are here. But we just continue to walk with the Lord. Our job, our number one job, our main job, you can boil it all down, is just to be His witnesses and to shine and share. We talk about that on the program all the time. Hey, go out, shine for Christ. That's how you live. Share. That's what comes out of your lips. Share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. And whether your witness is short, like it was for Stephen in Acts chapter 7, or whether it's long, like it was for the Apostle John, that's God's business. You and I are just to be faithful. Revelation 2:10, the letter to the church in Smyrna, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, what happens when the Lord returns? Because He is coming back one day. Well, first of all, as I mentioned, we have the rapture of the church. That's a signless event, and that is coming at any moment. And I believe, as I stated before the break, that comes before the tribulation period, where the Lord takes us to the Father's house. Jesus told the disciples that. John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, apartments, not mansions, but dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, you have to figure out in your theology, where does John 14 come into play? Well, if there is no rapture of the church, or if the rapture of the church comes at the end of the tribulation period, well, there's no time to go to the Father's house. There's no time to have the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You have to have time for these things. There's no time for the marriage supper of the Lamb. So a pre-tribulation rapture gives you time and space for that. So when the Lord raptures out His church, then you have Revelation 6, the breaking of the first seal, and you have the Antichrist who comes on the scene. He signs a peace treaty with Israel. Daniel chapter 9 tells us that. It'll be for a week, not a week of days, but a week of years, 7 years. And in the middle of those 7 years, He's going to break His peace treaty. He's going to set Himself up in the temple of God, because the Jewish temple is rebuilt during the tribulation period, and sacrifices begin again. And the Antichrist is going to go, and He's going to show His true colors. He's going to set Himself up in the temple of God and say, I am God, worship me. And then He's going to make everybody get a mark. This is Revelation chapter 13, a mark on their hand, a right hand, or on their forehead, the mark of the beast, 666. And if you don't have the mark, you can't buy, you can't sell. Remember, we're introduced to a little foreshadowing of that during the coronavirus, COVID, that you have to have a vaccine passport. If you can't show that you've been vaccinated, we're not going to sell to you. We're not going to do business with you. You can't come in here. That was being just kind of tacitly pushed. Never came to the point of boom, this is the new law of the land. But it was a precursor and a foreshadowing of what is going to come during the Antichrist reign. If you don't get the mark, well, then good luck living. You're going to be eating out of the dumpster because you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't conduct regular life. And it's going to be very, very difficult to be a Christian during the tribulation period. But many do put their faith and trust in Jesus during the tribulation. As I said, primarily Jews. Jews turn to Christ during the tribulation. They understand He truly was and is our Messiah. So when Jesus comes back. So you have all these, the tribulation period is horrible. Jesus said, unless those days had been cut short, nobody would have made it. Everybody would have died. But he does cut them short for the sake of the elect, Matthew 24. And then, you know, when it looks like the end is upon Israel, and the Antichrist gathers all his forces at the Battle of Armageddon. And Armageddon is the Valley of Jezreel. I've been there on Mount Megiddo, and you look down on this valley. And Napoleon called it the world's most natural battlefield. And that's going to be the staging area for all the armies of the Antichrist. And they're going to all be staged there. And they're going to come upon Jerusalem to destroy it. And just when it looks like Israel is finally done, and God's chosen people from Genesis 12 are no more, the Lord comes back, Revelation 19. And when the Lord comes back, he comes back to this battle. We know it as the Battle of Armageddon. And it is so cool, as the scripture puts it. John says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. And he wages war against the Antichrist and his forces. And don't get the idea that the Battle of Armageddon is a back and forth, you know, Rocky Balboa versus Apollo Creed, and one guy's down, then the other guy's down. It's not like that at all. The Lord wipes them out with the sharp sword that goes out of his mouth. That is his word. He just speaks a word, and he speaks them into oblivion. And the Bible says that the carnage is so great at the Battle of Armageddon that the blood comes up to the horses' bridles. It splashes up because he treads the winepress, Jesus does, of the fierce wrath of Almighty God. And you know, you've seen the picture of the people stomping on grapes and the juice is coming up. That's what he does with his enemies. And the blood splashes up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. There is a great victory that takes place at the Battle of Armageddon. And then the Lord sets up his kingdom. Now, he takes the Antichrist and the false prophet. It says, and the beast, another name for the Antichrist, was seized, and with him the false prophet. The false prophet is the false Holy Spirit. He's the cheerleader for the Antichrist. And the Lord takes both of those guys, and he throws them alive into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone. And then it says in Revelation 20, I saw an angel come down from heaven holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon. Who's the dragon? Well, it goes on to say, you know, the dragon, the serpent of old, Genesis 3, who is the devil and Satan. You don't have to wonder about that. The dragon is another name for Satan. The serpent is another name for Satan. The devil and Satan, the same being. And the angel takes him and binds him for 1,000 years, and he threw him into the abyss. That's the bottomless pit, and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So the Lord sets up his kingdom. When he sets up his kingdom, the first thing that he does is he takes the devil and he binds him and he puts him in the abyss. And he seals it over him so he does not have access to deceive people for those 1,000 years. And then the Lord raises up all those who died, all those believers during the tribulation period who died. He raises them up, and they have glorified bodies. And we're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come back with him at the Battle of Armageddon. We're in fine linen, white and clean. We've been glorified. We've seen our Savior. So you have the bride of Christ. You have the attendants, because it's a wedding picture here. And so you have the attendants at the wedding, the Old Testament saints, and they're in glorified bodies. You have tribulation saints, those who died during the tribulation period, who had placed their faith and trust in Jesus. They're raised up It says in Revelation 20, verse 4, "Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And so you have all those who died in Jesus. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, the Bible says. All those who died in Jesus, they come back to life. They're given glorified bodies. And when the Lord sets up his kingdom, not everybody dies during the tribulation period. Not every believer dies during the tribulation period. Some make it through. And so you're going to have, at the beginning of this 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth, you're going to have mortal people there. Just like you are now, just like I am now, they're going to be in the kingdom. Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goats. The goats are put on the Lord's left hand. The sheep are put on the Lord's right hand. The sheep are brought into the kingdom, and the goats are put into, depart from me, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And it's going to, everybody is saved by grace through faith. You don't get to heaven by any other way than grace through faith. But that is evidenced, Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats judgment, in how people treated Israel during the tribulation period. If you had true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you would treat Israel well. Whatsoever you did to the least of my brothers, that you did to me. And so that is the Lord's benchmark to determine what was in a person's heart. Nobody is ever saved by works. You're always saved by grace through faith. So the kingdom begins, and you have these glorified saints, and then you have mortal saints. Everybody's a Christian when the kingdom begins, and the Lord sets up his kingdom, and there's peace, and there's justice, and the earth is removed, the curse is removed from the earth, and the desert blooms like a rose, and the wolf lays down with the lamb, and the lion lays down with the calf, and the little child plays at the den of the cobra. And Jesus, and the Lord says, they will not hurt in all my holy mountain. It goes back to the way it was before the fall. And it's going to be so wonderful. And it's going to be like that for 1,000 years. Now, these mortal saints who come into the kingdom, they all put their faith and trust in Jesus. Everybody believes in Jesus when the kingdom begins. But those mortal people have children. And their children have children, and their children have children, and ages go back to the way it was in the book of Genesis, where people lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And so every time a child is born, that child is born just like you were born, just like I was born with a sin nature. And that child comes into this world needing to be born again. And even though Jesus is there on the throne, he'll rule from Jerusalem. That'll be the capital city of the world, and people can see him and they can hear him. You say, well, why do you have to have faith? Well, you still have to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And what is amazing is this. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, Revelation 20, verse 7, and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. There's one last final rebellion when the devil is released from the abyss. He's released from his prison, and get this, at the end of the 1,000 years, Jesus ruling and reigning on planet Earth, and everything is peaceful and prosperous and wonderful because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is calling all the shots. The devil gathers to himself rebels like the sand on the seashore. And you say, why is that in the Bible? It's to prove this is the core of sin. Luke chapter 19, we do not want this man to reign over us. Even when everything's as perfect as it can possibly be in still a fallen world, they still don't want Jesus because they want to be their own boss. That is at the core of sin. Hey, Eve, you eat of this fruit, and guess what? you will be like God, knowing good and evil, and you won't need to depend upon God. That is at the heart of sin. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we are up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call, and let's talk. We're talking about the kingdom, and it is exciting stuff. Don't go away.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Almost 20 years ago, AFA took a stand against the war on Christmas. Tools like the Naughty or Nice list showed which companies banned employees from saying Merry Christmas. And the Christmas buttons? Need I say more? As the war grows into an all-out assault on the gospel, AFA keeps fighting back, and your financial gift helps. As our thanks this month, we'll send you a 10-pack of Christmas buttons to wear and share. Visit afa.net/Christmas2025 to give today.
Hi, I'm Doug Chamberlain, host of Family Health Checkup. For over 30 years, Samaritan members have come together to share medical costs and lift each other up in prayer. Now, I'm excited to tell you about Redeem HealthShare Ministry, Samaritan's next generation of healthcare sharing. Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs that reflect your values and help you manage medical costs with confidence. Each month, members contribute a share amount to help pay each other's medical bills, and you choose the providers and treatments that are right for your family. It's not insurance. It's a community of believers supporting one another through life's health challenges. So, whether it's a routine visit or a sudden emergency, there's a caring Christian community walking with you every step of the way. Redeem HealthShare. It's more than healthcare. It's hope. It's healing. It's faith in action. Call 1-844-REDEEM-0 today. Join the movement. Share joyfully. Live redeemed.
As an AFR listener, you may be familiar with the ministry of Preborn. Preborn has saved 38,000 babies' lives, and more than 4,000 mothers have made commitments to Christ in the past year. Now, we'd like to hear your Preborn story. If you or a loved one has had an interaction with Preborn, call in and tell us your story. The number is 877-876-8893. Maybe you'd just like to express support for the life-saving ministry of Preborn. Again, that number is 877-876-8893. Preborn has been saving lives and changing lives through the miracle of ultrasound. And this is another way you can support this vital pro-life ministry. Just call and leave us a voicemail of 1 or 2 minutes and tell us what Preborn has meant to you. The number again is 877-876-8893. Thank you for helping us promote the life-saving ministry of Preborn.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about King Jesus and when the Lord sets up his kingdom, as we ended out the last segment. So at the very end of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, the devil is released one last time from his prison and gathers all the quiet rebels, those who pretended to follow the Lord, but they weren't. It wasn't genuine. He gathers those people to himself like the sand that is on the seashore. Now get it, after 1,000 years on the earth with no sickness and people living for, I don't think there'd be very much death at all during the millennial kingdom. You have lots and lots and lots of people born. So there can easily be, in 1,000 years, billions of people on the earth. And the devil gathers those rebels to himself like the sand that is on the seashore. And the fire comes. They come to go up against the Lord and the holy city and his people. And fire comes down from heaven and consumes them all. And then after that, just to finish out the book of the Revelation, you have the final judgments called the Great White Throne Judgment. Everyone at that judgment is an unbeliever, and they're going to face the second death, which is the lake of fire. Everybody that appears at the Great White Throne Judgment is judged righteously justly, and they will face the horrible punishment of eternal hell. I preached on that years ago, called it the saddest day in history, because the Lord wants to save. He doesn't want to judge. And then the last two chapters of Revelation, that's when the Lord builds a new heaven, creates a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's the eternal state. And you have the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And we live in this New Jerusalem, and the earth is made new, and we live with the Lord forever and ever and ever, and we see His face, and it is wonderful, and no sin will ever taint or pollute the kingdom of God ever, ever again. So that is the story and the end of the story, and it is a wonderful story. And so we look forward to that. The reign of King Jesus. He reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, and He reigns in heaven forever and ever and ever. And we rule and reign with Him as his own. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have our friend Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Now, I just want to say I appreciate so much that you talk about the end times, because so many pastors don't, and it's so important. And I actually came to the Lord from, I was in a car with my parents years ago and heard something about the end times. And that was kind of the start of just listening to, back then pastors talked more about it and were looking forward to it. And from what I understand, I guess they're not teaching it in seminaries anymore, but it gives us hope. And all the weird things going on in the world could be tied to the end times and how people are, you know, veering off into all these deceptions.
Right.
And anyway.
Yeah, well, it's a good point, Lynn. So here I was talking to Marcos, our engineer, and I said, you know, more and more people are turning to Calvinism. And in Calvinism, John Calvin wrote a commentary on every book of the Bible except the book of Revelation. And John Calvin was an amillennialist, and so many Calvinists are amillennial, which just means you say there's not a 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth. We have dispensationalists that say, okay, well, the Lord has this, we're in this church age now, but then when He raptures the church, then everything goes back to God dealing with the Jews, and the Lord is going to set up His kingdom on earth, and Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. And exactly what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, the literal reading of the scripture, it's going to last for 1,000 years. Well, they just say that they would look at that and say that's just symbolic of the kingdom of the Lord. That's the biggest number that they had, and so they just used that as 1,000 years. That just means His kingdom will last forever and ever and ever. So they don't see a literal kingdom on earth, and that's why this is why it's important, because if you're amillennial and the promises aren't coming that the Lord made to Israel are fulfilled in the church, and the Lord just has, as they have told me and as I've read, the Lord just has one people, and if Israel didn't get on board with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, well, you know, some of them did, but mostly the Gentiles, received that good news. And so the church today is primarily made up of Gentiles. Israel primarily rejects Christ and says He's not our Messiah. Well, if Israel's not important, then them being back in the land's not important. They're just like any other country. So why do we get all hot to trot about helping Israel? And, it changes things as far as moving forward and understanding geopolitical things and that that scenario, it makes a big difference. What your eschatology is makes a big difference. And if you don't believe there's going to be a literal return of Christ and he's going to set up his kingdom, then you have to explain away a lot of things. As John MacArthur, who's a Calvinist, he was a strong Calvinist during his ministry, but he was also a premillennialist and a dispensationalist. And he said he believed in the rapture of the church before the tribulation period. He believed that the Lord was going to set up his thousand-year reign, just like it reads in Revelation and just like it reads in the prophet Zechariah. So Zechariah is a strong passage of Scripture, Zechariah, especially chapters 12 and 14, for the second coming of Christ and the kingdom that he sets up, and the sheep and the goats judgment that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 25. So, Lynn, because things are getting more and more Calvinistic in the seminaries, that's why they're not talking about the return of Christ. They're not talking about the things in Revelation, because it's just kind of like, well, the Lord's coming back one day, and they just kind of, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, but they don't emphasize those things that we would emphasize about the tribulation, about the Antichrist, about the Battle of Armageddon, about the Millennial Kingdom. They're not going to emphasize any of those things because they don't think that is going to literally happen. So that's why you're not hearing it. But it's a good observation. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say that olivetreeviews.org, Jan Markell's organization, she doesn't head it anymore, but she still influences it. They have had training for pastors that's free if you go there to teach about the end times.
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Well, thank you, Lynn. I appreciate that. And thanks for listening to the program and for calling in and being a faithful listener. We have John on the line from Louisiana. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yes, so I don't understand why you say that after when the judgment of the nations, when he divides the sheep from the goats, why the judgment there is based on how people treated Israel, because I don't see anything, and I don't know when the time period that judgment of the nations happens. Is it after the tribulation or when?
The judgment of the nations, good, really good question, John. The judgment of the nations will come after the Battle of Armageddon and after the Lord takes the beast and the false prophet and puts them into the abyss, and after he binds the Satan into, or puts the beast and the false prophet into the lake of fire, and after he binds Satan and puts him into the abyss, then he's going to judge the nations, those people that remain. And the reason I say it's how they treated Israel is because the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and as the, I'll not read it all, but, you know, I was sick, I was naked, all those things." And then they say, "Well, when did we see that?" He said, the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did this to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And so many conservative scholars would say, well, these brothers of mine, he's referring to Israel. Because remember, during the tribulation period, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble, the Antichrist is wanting to destroy Israel. And he hates, the devil has always hated the Jews. Revelation chapter 12 speaks of that, what is going on, where the enemy is trying to destroy Israel. And it speaks in symbolic language there. But that's the gist of it. And the reason being is this, because God has made promises to Israel. And if those promises, Israel has to exist for those promises to come about. And if Israel can be annihilated, then God's promises fall flat. They don't come true because Israel is no longer, they're no longer a people. The devil has wiped them out. And so then that would make God a promise breaker, He's a welcher on his promises. God can't keep his promises. And if God doesn't keep his promises, then he can't be God anymore. So that's how the devil attacks. That's why he hates Israel, because they have the promises given to them by God. And so that's what the devil is trying to do. And the Battle of Armageddon, it looks like the devil has won. It looks like Israel will be totally annihilated. And at the 11th hour, that's when the Lord breaks through. That's when he rescues his people and he saves Israel and he sets up his kingdom. And so the judgment of the sheep and the goats, it has to do with how you treated these brothers of mine. And so the way faith is evidenced during the tribulation period is a person's attitude toward Israel. Now, you may not believe that, but that seems to be because we know we're not saved by works. Nobody's ever saved by works. So it's by grace through faith. And as James said, faith without works is dead, being by itself. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so that is the work that is going to show if people really had true faith in the Lord Jesus. Does that help?
Somehow.
Well, it can get a little, you know, obviously good and godly people can disagree on that, John. I do think I preached not too long ago on Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and the goats, and I called it the world's most misunderstood parable because it sounds like it has to do with works. You know, you're feeding the sick, you're visiting the people in prison, and that kind of thing. And so it's like, but if that's the interpretation, then by grace through faith goes out the window, because then it's all as a result of works.
That's it. That's it.
So,
merci beaucoup, monsieur le pasteur. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. God bless you. We have Eric on the line from Tennessee. Eric, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. I got a question, a little off topic about heaven, and like when you meet your relatives, when your relatives die and we all go to heaven, do we know our relatives up there like we know them here on earth, like my mom's still living? Will we communicate with my mom here? Will we communicate the same way in heaven? How does that work?
We'll definitely know them. We'll know, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13:12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. So we will definitely know them, but we won't have a relationship with them like it was on earth. Just like with our spouse, it won't be a marriage relationship. It'll be, we're going to be brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so even, you know, parents, grandparents, and things like that, it'll all be more of a sibling kind of relationship. But we'll definitely know them, and I think we'll definitely remember what our relationships were like in the past. Before heaven, but that will so fade away that you have to think hard to remember what that was, because the new will just overrun.
So you won't call your mom up there no. In heaven. I don't guess.
No, I don't think so. Now the Bible doesn't say a lot about that, but I don't think we do. I think it's just that kind of we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, even on this earth, even, you know, if your mom's a believer, she's your mom, but she's your sister in Christ in a spiritual sense. So that's a good question, Eric. I'm sorry, Raymond in Pennsylvania and Linda in Texas, we didn't get to you. But if you have a question, feel free to email me, PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. That's PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today here on American Family Radio. It is such a privilege and a blessing to be able to share with you every morning. And I hope that this has been encouraging to you. Listen, the Lord is coming again. I don't care how bad it might be right now. Just know the best is yet to come. And whether we see Jesus as we close our eyes in death or we see him at the rapture, we are going to see him if we are really his. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.